All right, everyone, this is Sunday morning, September the 29th, 2019, and I'm going to start off with the last first. Sometimes the Lord rearranges things. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut, and the title of this is Words Frame the World. Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things which were visible." All right, I'm going to just begin to read to you what the Lord said to me. Your world is a product of words. If you do not like what you see, change it. No longer complain about it. Change it with your words. Don't depend on what your leaders are doing or not. You are the power behind the leaders. Words change things. The Lord, you know, when he saw the earth out there void in Genesis 1, he didn't say, "Well, I better call the President of the United States and see what he can do about this." You're the power behind the leaders. Words change things. Don't like the narrative, homosexuality, transgender, Satanism, Antifa, human and child trafficking, abortion, and on it goes. Change it. Use your words to change the narrative. I created you in my image, and this is how I change the narrative. He saw the earth, dark, covered in water. What happened? Satan had destroyed, or God had to destroy that world like he did what he did Noah's day. Why? The devil had been there. The devil had been there and pushed his narrative, and they had taken whoever was that lived there, had taken that narrative and had let it destroy them. God doesn't change. He is a faith God. He's the God that calls things that be not as though they were, and that's what he did in Genesis. Use your mouth and your words to build the kingdom of God. Isn't that the prayer that I gave you to pray? Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Problem is that so many born-again people tear down with their words instead of build up with their words. We went in a restaurant this week, and there's a little lady in there that we really like. And so you can tell she's pretty ignorant about the things of God, but she'll ask questions every once in a while. And she comes in and says, you know, talking about there's another shooter in Odessa. And then she says, "I don't know why Trump just doesn't give up." And I said, "He can't give up." I said, "They'd take his family out in a minute if he gave up." You know, there's people that have given their lives. There's people that are giving their lives today. There's people that have counted the cost and gone all the way to the end to stand for this flag and this country, unappreciated and unknown at this point. And you want to say, "Oh, he just needs to give up." No. Problem is, so many born-again people tear down with their words instead of build up with their words. Proverbs 14:1, "Every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish one tears it down with their own hands." Haggai 1, "Want to shout the mouth of the enemy? Open yours." Haggai chapter 1. Look there right quick. "In the second year of Darius, king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by means of Haggai the prophet." By the way, this will probably be the last Sunday I'll use Amplified. I'll probably be using the King James from now on. So if you don't have one, I have some extras that I can put up here. "To Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come that the Lord's house should be rebuilt." I like what Amplified put here, though, although Cyrus had ordered it done 18 years before. They're still sitting on their laurels, doing their own thing, seeing to their own house. "Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, It is time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house of the Lord lies in ruins." They're still just going to Disneyland. don't know that what Disneyland is. You know what I'm saying? Still drinking the Kool-Aid. They don't know that there's arsenic in that Kool-Aid, do they? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways and set your mind on what has come to you. You have sown much, but you reap little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you do not have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages has earned them to put them in a bag with holes in it. He's talking about people who aren't putting the kingdom first. They're putting their own affairs first, and they're not giving any attention or any heed to the house of the Lord in his ways. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways and how you have fared. Go ahead. In other words, how's it working for you? Putting me out of your life and doing your own thing. How's that working for you? Go up to the hill country, bring lumber, and rebuild my house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought that home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house, which lies waste, while you yourselves run each man to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its produce. Want to shut the mouth of the enemy? Then open yours. It will not be by might, Zechariah 4:6, or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Psalms 147:10, he delights not in strength of the horse, nor does he take pleasure in the legs of a man. God does not take delight in the strength of the horse, nor does he take pleasure in the legs of a man. This isn't by might or power. It isn't by the president. And the Republicans getting behind the president. And others getting behind the president. It has to do with the Lord's house. I am not impressed by military might, etc. It's not about that. It's about the manifestation of the sons of God. Okay, Revelation 19. Verse 11. After that I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one who riding it is called faithful, loyal, incorruptible, and true. He passes judgment and wages war in righteousness. How does he do it? Let's read on. His eyes like a flame of fire, and his head are many kingly crowns. Are we reigning in life? He has a title inscribed which he alone knows or can understand. He is dressed in a robe dyed by dipping in blood, and the title by which he is called the Word of God, and the troops of heaven, clothed in fine linen, dazzling and clean, followed him on white horses. From his mouth goes forth a sharp sword, with which he can smite the nations, and he will shepherd and control them with a staff of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath and indignation of God, the all-ruler. And on his garment and on his thigh he has a name inscribed, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw a single angel stationed in the sun's light, and with a mighty voice he shouted to all the birds that fly across the sky, come gather yourselves together for the great supper of God, that you may feast on the flesh of rulers, the flesh of generals and captains, the flesh of powerful and mighty men, the flesh of horses and riders, and the flesh of all humanity, both free and slave, both small and great. Then I saw the beast and the rulers of the leaders of the earth with their troops mustered to go into battle and make war against him who is mounted on the horse and against his troops. Now we're talking about the most huge, most technically advanced army ever in the history of the world. And the beast was seized and overpowered, and with him the false prophet who is in his presence had worked wonders and performed miracles by which he led astray those who accepted and permitted to be placed upon them the stamp of the beast, and those who paid homage and gave divine orders to his statue. Both of them were hurled alive into the fiery lake that burns and blazes with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword that issues from the mouth of him who is mounted on the horse. You see how powerful your mouth is. And all the birds fed ravenously and glued themselves on their flesh. The most powerful Antichrist army, tanks, guns, nuclear weapons. Jesus just says, whatever, and they're gone. You see the power of the church. the largest, most powerful army in the world defeated by the words of his mouth. Revelations 12:11. And they, who are they? And they have overcome him by the means of the blood of the Lamb and the utterance of their testimony. Their words. Their words. Believe your words and see the results. Whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will come to pass. He'll have whatever he says. We've got a whole arsenal right here. A miracle right here. Mighty men of fierce courage, not victims. Stop looking for might and power, the president and leaders to deliver you. Take your land back. What they do or they don't do, it doesn't really lay in their hands, does it? But in ours. Hosea 4:2. Take with you words and return to the Lord. You have a miracle in your mouth, and I've already assured you of the victory. Romans 8. Verse 37. Yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. For I am persuaded beyond doubt that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending, nor threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Job 6:25, how forcible are words of straightforward speech. Job 22:28, you shall also decide and decree a thing that shall be established for you, and the light shall shine upon your ways. Quit running from confrontation. Run toward it with your words, like David ran toward Goliath when the Goliath said, this day I'm going to cut off your head and feed it to the birds. And David said, oh no, this day I'm going to cut off your head. And the birds will eat your head. And that's exactly what happened. Don't like what you see, change it. In a situation you don't like, change it. Is there a problem in your body? Change it. Don't run for the foxhole. The giants of your time are big and ominous, but just an opportunity to cut off their heads. Psalms 45:1, my heart overflows with a goodly theme. I address my psalm to a king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Brother Hagin, years ago, write your own ticket with God. Psalms 18:29, for by you I can run through a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. Our words will also bring down the obstacles that are in our way, like Joshua in Jericho. By faith you are armed and ready. Let's look at Hebrews 11:33. By faith they accomplished things that were not possible. 11:33 and 34. Who by the help of faith subdued kingdoms, administered justice. See, we're wanting to see justice. They administered justice by faith, obtained promised blessings, clothed the mouths of lions. Make it easy for our president. Extinguished the power of raging fire, escaped the devouring of the sword. Out of frailty and weakness won strength and became stalwart. Even mighty, resistless in battle, routing alien armies or alien host. Time to turn your nation around. No longer be appalled by what you see and hear, but let it inspire you to change it. Yes, counter it with your words. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God is the putting down of strongholds, casting down every high and lofty thing that exalts its name against the knowledge of Christ. The success or failure of this nation does not rest on the soldiers of President Trump, but on my body. That's why it's not the Democrats' fault where we're at. It's the church's fault. We let it happen. Sadly, so many in my body are fighting with the fist instead of fighting the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:10. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life to which you were summoned, and you confess the good confession before many witnesses. Confessions, that's words. Words. It's like, oh, you just need to give up. I just wanted to slap her. I'm sorry. It is now your turn to turn it all around. Can I count on you? That's the problem. That is the problem. It's not the Democrats. It's not even the secret societies, the deep state, the bloodline families. It's the negative mouths of men. Drown out the fake news with the good news. I have sent you to different places to change things. All I'm hearing or have heard is griping and complaining. Now get a little clue here. This is what the teaching is fixing to be about. Let me say it again. I've sent you to different places to change things, and all I'm hearing or have heard is griping and complaining. I sent you there to infiltrate and covertly change it. Stop complaining about it. I send light into the darkness. He isn't going to send you somewhere to send around and shundala all day. Get that stupidity out of your thinking. And let me tell you about going to a place where you think the shundala all day. There's wickedness even in the church. I know. I saw it firsthand. It was a hellhole. It was worse than being in the world. I worked for people in the world that drank and cussed, but they treated me better than people in the church. I'm sorry. I make the crooked places straight. It isn't going to be the way you like it. Get over it and change it. Don't fight and quarrel with people, but be diplomatic and be a servant. I've sent you into a dark place to help people. I'm about people, and as my sons, you must be also. Acts 10:38, how Jesus Christ of Nazareth went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Let me say something to you about something today. Homosexuality is wrong. It is a sin. And we do make confessions that it's outlawed in this country. But to have the idea that we need to kill these people and take them out is wrong. God Himself gives man a free will and a choice to make. They're not going to come to the church if we have that sorry attitude. Love is the only banner that we fly. It's not to change their doctrine and try to change them and say, I'm not associate with you, or making agreements and looking at them like, you make me sick, I want to throw up. No. Jesus didn't show that kind of attitude to anybody. He had all kinds of people coming up to him from every type of walk of life. And never once did I hear him say, well, you've been doing right. You know, Lord will hear you if you get right. No, he just prayed for him. He said, a lot of times it said he healed everyone. He couldn't have known anything about them unless he had a revelation by the Spirit. He was a flesh and blood man in a flesh and blood body. Laid aside who he was as God to walk as a man. The greatest in the kingdom is a servant. If you cannot serve, you will not be a leader. Now get that through your head. If you can't learn to serve, you will never lead. If you won't follow orders, you will never lead. See how it works? This is training for reigning. Speak to the mountains that stand in your way. Stop complaining about them. Complaining will never get you anywhere. A soldier of the cross presses on in the midst of all kinds of circumstances and still performs his duties. It is yes, sir, when he receives his orders. The children of Israel lost out because they couldn't get on board with the plan. All they did was deplore their situation. Yes, they were the basket of deplorables. They just went round and round and round the same mountain till one day they died. They fell dead in the wilderness. They never got ahead. They never changed, and they didn't end well. I'm tired of seeing Christians not end well, aren't you? I'm ready to see some victorious homegoings. Like, well, I'm leaving today. Lord's already told me, so y'all come on around. I'm going to give you some instructions, and I'm out of here. That's the way it's supposed to be. No matter what your rank is, you are a servant. If you'll notice, Paul, he always says, I'm a servant. He said, I may be an apostle and a prophet, but I am a servant of the Most High God first. No matter what your rank is, you are a servant. When you serve them, you're serving me. How do you serve? It's by submitting to authority. We're going to read a few scriptures here. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them, recognizing their authority over you, for they are constantly watching over your souls and guarding your spiritual warfare or welfare. As men who will have to render an account, let them do this with gladness, not with sighing and groaning, for that would not be profitable to you either. 2 Peter 2, 1 Peter 2, 9. But you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchase, special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you were unpitied, but now you are pitied and have received mercy. Beloved, I implore you as aliens and strangers and exiles to abstain from the sensual urges, the passions of the flesh that wage war against the soul. Conduct yourselves properly, honorably, righteously among the Gentiles, so that although they may slander you as evildoers, yet they may, by witnessing your good deeds, will glorify God in the day of inspection. Be submissive to every human institution and authority for the sake of the Lord, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to bring vengeance to those who do wrong and to encourage those who do good service. For it's God's will and intention that by doing right, you should silence the ignorant charges and ill-informed criticism of foolish persons as free people without employing your freedom as a pretext for wickedness, but as servants of God. Show respect for all men. Love the brotherhood. Oh, Lord, help us. Reverence God. Honor the emperor. You are household servants. Be submissive to your masters with all respect, only not to those who are kind and considerate and reasonable, but also to those who are truly overbearing, unjust, and crooked. For one is regarded favorably if, as in the sight of God, he endures the pain of unjust suffering. Have you been thinking about it that way? That maybe the job that you're at, if you're not treated right, that maybe this the Lord is expecting you to show fruit under scrutiny? After all, what kind of glory is it if when you do wrong and are punished for it, you take it patiently? But if you bear patiently with suffering, which results when you do right, then that is undeserved. It is accountable or acceptable and pleasing to God. For even to this were you called, it is inseparable from your vocation, for Christ also suffered for you, leaving you his personal example so that you should follow in his footsteps. The Lord's wanting us to view things differently. Quit running from situations you don't like. God puts you in situations and you jump ship. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you who are younger and of lesser rank, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility. It says, as a garb of a servant, so that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you, with freedom from pride and arrogance toward one another. For God sets himself against the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I am looking for those who will inquire of me and follow my plans. The ones that do their own thing I cannot use. I need Davids in this hour. Sauls are a dime a dozen. Can I trust you to use your words to promote my plans? Of course, the choice is up to you. Reigning in life or complaining in life.